down count. Send line on the snap, and here it is. Warner under a blitz. He's hit. Ball pops loose. It's scooped up on the play by the Packers. Champion takes it to the end zone. It's a live ball, and it's a touchdown, Green Bay!
Well, studios in Inwood, Manhattan. Cheesehead TV brings you two guys who like to think they know something about football.
Here we are. End of training camp. 3-0 in the preseason. Packer Nation is going nuts. And you and I keep telling people it means absolutely nothing.
Yeah, people need to calm down.
And they don't like us for saying that, Corey.
Nobody likes that.
They don't like being told that it means nothing. But guess what? It doesn't.
It doesn't.
Greg Bedard actually made a perfect point on his radio spot the other day in Milwaukee when he said, what happens if that opening night game is a shootout between the Bears and the Packers? And let me tell you, after watching the Bears against the Broncos, that's a real possibility. That offense can move the ball. And then let's say, like the last 2 minutes, it's the final score is 34-31, the Packers lose, and it's last year all over again. All right? 3-0 in the preseason and beating the Cardinals in a meaningless game will mean absolutely nothing at that point because it does mean absolutely nothing. Like I say, it's great to watch individual matchups. It's great to watch guys beat, you know, the guy across the way from them, like, or even units, like the offensive line was out of sight on Friday night. But to sit here and say that 3-0 means anything in the preseason is just ridiculous. And I've taken a lot of flack for that, and so have you. We stand behind it, because that's what we do here at Cheesehead TV. However, I will add one correction, and I think Dale Z was kind enough to point it out. After going back and reviewing the tape, Dale and several other people were absolutely right. Aaron Campman did have contain on Beanie Wells' touchdown run. So I apologize to Aaron. I still think he's been invisible all preseason. But he did have contain on that play. He did do his job.
Why are you such a hater?
Oh, I don't know. It's a good question. You'd have to ask Packers Lounge why I'm such a hater.
They know why.
I guess they do. I said it. I was incorrect. After I said on the blog today, I went back and watched the whole game, finally. Sorry, people. I was on vacation. Give me a break. So, lots to get through tonight. Obviously, later on, we've got Jen Latta from Fox 6 in Milwaukee. We've got Jarius Wynn, the rookie defensive end, who made a couple plays Friday night, making a name for himself, turning some heads. He had a sack and a couple other nice plays. We'll be talking to him live on the phone. That is, if he doesn't pull a Larrivee, and should be pretty excited.
We can't say that anymore.
No, we can't, because he finally picked up the phone. Let's move on. I've provided us with a good, a bad, and the ugly for all of training camp.
Good and bad. You know, I got creamed when I tried to do a good, bad, and the ugly.
I saw that. There was nothing
really to put in the ugly at the
well,
time.
Well, I gotta say, it was difficult to find stuff to put in the bad and the ugly categories, but they're there.
They're there.
You just gotta look for them.
They're there.
Of course, in the good, who else can you say? But Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers.
And of course, Charles Woodson. I mean, the two of them, one on offense, one on defense, absolutely lights out. You can't say enough about these guys. Aaron Rodgers is just on fire. And Charles Woodson, people are already saying he's a candidate for Defensive Player of the Year.
Now,
it's preseason, so let's all calm down.
If he does what he did in the preseason, in the real season,
yeah, he'll be all right.
He'll be a Defensive Player of the Year.
He'll do okay.
This would be awesome if this was his like best year ever.
It would be.
It would be exciting.
It would be absolutely excellent.
If this is Charles Woodson's best year ever, I'm just going to say this right now.
Uh-oh.
We're going to the Super Bowl.
Oh, boy. You and Charles are on the same page there. You know, they asked,
I'm sorry,
they asked Aaron Rodgers about Charles Woodson and, you know, just saying, like, will you back what Woodson said? And Rodgers said, I'm not ready to go there yet. One game at a time. Blah, 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 blah. So, you know, we'll see. It's interesting. It's a bold statement by Woodson.
It is.
But in the bad category. Now, ladies and gentlemen, don't jump all over me here. In the bad category, we've got A.J. Hawk for looking pedestrian, and we've got Atari Bigby for being invisible. I mean, that guy has two tackles in the entire preseason. Two tackles. I think Will Blackman has more tackles, and he's hurt.
Yeah.
I mean, it's no joke, ladies and gentlemen. Atari Bigby has been invisible, and Anthony Smith is making a move.
You know who else is kind of invisible?
Who's that?
A.J. Hawk.
Yeah, well, that's why he's in the bad category.
Yep.
I mean, he did absolutely nothing on Friday night.
He's like the invisible man.
He really is. And I guess, you know, what they like about him, Winston Moss was raving about him after practice the other day about how assignment sure he is and how well he's graded out. So I guess I got to take Winston Moss at his word, even though at the end of last year, Winston Moss was the one who's saying everybody's going to be under the microscope. No job is safe.
Mm-hmm.
But now, apparently, AJ Hawk is fine in the base. Although it did come out, both in the Green Bay Press Gazette and then Pro Football Talk, picked it up tonight, that Hawk has lost his job in the nickel. You know, they've got Chiller and Barnett now that he's back is running in the nickel. So Hawk is relegated to the bench. And I think we saw the beginnings of that last year in the Indianapolis game when Chiller replaced Hawk for, yep, I think, all but three plays. So how will Hawk take that? It will be interesting.
You know who the most exciting person is from camp for me?
Who's that?
I think a lot of people would agree with me, which is a rarity in and of itself.
True.
That would be Desmond Bishop.
Yeah, he's been, I guess I can't say a surprise, but he's been very exciting to watch every time he's on the field. He's been involved in any number of plays, and he's been all over the place. So how they keep him off the field will be very interesting, especially if you're running nickel and you've got, you know, Barnett and Chiller on the inside in nickel, and then you've got Barnett, say, in dime, and then you've got Hawk and Barnett in the base. How does Desmond Bishop get on the field? Because how does he not? That I don't understand. We'll see.
Well, Anthony Smith isn't really a surprise just because where he came from, you know?
Well, I know, exactly. He's like the only one who's been in this type of defense before.
Yeah.
And he was there all offseason.
He should be good at this defense.
He should be. I'll tell you what, though. That interception that he made was ridiculous at the end of the half.
Oh, yeah.
End of the first half. He came from clear across the way, completely abandoned his zone, which is dangerous, but that's what you do when you're a playmaker. And he came over and he snatched that ball away for a brilliant interception because Chiller was beat on the play. And now, you know, that he was running in the two-minute drill with the starters the other day. Bigby says it's because he told him to go in, which I found interesting.
Interesting.
But, okay, so Smith, they're giving him a look, I think. It'll be interesting to see what happens on opening night. Although, all reports are that they're fine with Bigby and they're going to give him as much time as he needs.
Of course they are.
But I don't know.
You know what my favorite thing during Packer Fan Fest the entire weekend?
What's that?
Was when, now I don't even know what I'm talking about. Remember when he was like, Bigby!
Oh, that's right.
Who was that? It was Nick Collins.
I couldn't think of
Nick Collins for a second. Nick Collins is on stage and Bigby was doing autographs.
Yep.
And he heard his name by Nick Collins over the PA.
Yep.
And then
he said, yeah, boy! It was lovely.
Oh, that was good.
That was a good piece of,
I enjoyed it.
You know, back safety camaraderie.
That's some Packer history lore right there. From this year.
Absolutely. From the last 6 months.
Yeah, I'm a nerd.
Yes, it's true.
Awesome.
You are. Oh, wait. We didn't finish the good, the bad, and the ugly.
I'm sorry.
We didn't do the ugly.
Well, what is the ugly?
That would be Mason Crosby.
Ouch. Well, everybody, you know what I love about Mason Crosby? Everyone has man crushes on Mason Crosby, even though he hasn't done absolutely nothing for our team. And everyone was making apologies. You know what? A lot of Packer fans, I'm sorry, call me Mr. Negative.
Here we go, ladies and gentlemen.
But a lot of Packer fans are kind of apologists.
They can be. Well, you know, they're allowed to be in the preseason.
It's true.
It's fine.
But, you know, everybody's like, oh, he didn't have his holder. Matt Flynn didn't hold for him.
Well, to be fair, now here's to be fair. All right, yes, he's put in the ugly category because he missed two really ridiculously easy kicks. However, the holds were terrible. We'll give him that, especially that first one. He double-clutched it. Okay, fine. But what I will give Mason Crosby credit for is not whining about his holder. Not once.
Yeah, that's true.
In any report and any quote anywhere, has he said anything? Unlike the previous Packer kicker, who now kicks for the Vikings, who whined all the time about his holding. So that's all I'm going to say.
You mean
the kid was a pro.
You know what annoys me about that kicker is that he has stupid records. He has most points or something ridiculous.
Yeah, he's in the Packer record book.
But here's the thing. Mason Crosby, can he kick these 53-yarders? Like, one time, okay?
Yeah.
You see,
he
like...
He does it in practice.
He does it in practice, and you're like, oh, man, we're going to do one of those.
Yeah.
Like, that's exciting, you know?
Great. No,
that's like Carolina football. That's like some teams. When you've got that weapon, it's like you can get to the, you know...
The 40-yard
line. Yeah, and you're kicking a field goal.
Well, that's the thing. It's like McCarthy has the confidence in him. He does it in practice all the time. So then you see him trot out in the games, and it's just like hold your breath time. Because the kid is so inconsistent in the games. Like, he seems lights out in practice, especially the last 2 days, since Flynn's been holding for him. Lights out. He's 5 for 5, he's 6 for 6, blah, 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 blah. And then he gets in a game, and it's just like a 50-50 proposition.
I think his problem is he believes his own hype.
You think the ESPN commercial got to him?
Yeah, he thinks he can really do that thing in Fantasy
the
Files.
The bell.
Okay.
Ring the bell.
Seriously? That's a trick, people.
That
it's
is
called
a trick.
A trick.
It is. So, back to training camp. surprises of training camp. You said Desmond Bishop, which I absolutely agree on.
Yeah.
Johnny Jolly. Incredibly, insanely nice surprise.
It's about time.
You know, he's showing the form he teased us with 2 years ago. He has made some ridiculous plays in the last two games. One I wrote about on the blog in the Bills game where he just strafed down the line and got this boxed in this running back, and then on a screen pass. And then in this this Cardinals game, he just had an absolutely brilliant read of, I think it was a draw play, where he just saw it developing as he's moving forward, completely shifts his momentum, which is not easy to do for a guy that big, and takes down the runner from behind. I mean, it was a very impressive play.
It was nice.
And he's having like one or two really super impressive plays a game.
I enjoyed it.
Now, of course, there is the dreaded caveat of contract year. Because, yes, he's in a contract year.
And, you know, there's this little issue of...
Hey, we don't have to worry about that issue until the offseason.
I love how, like, if you have a really rich lawyer, you can just extend your court date. You can basically tell the judge, hey, right. I just want this date. Right. It's in the offseason.
Well, hey, that didn't work for Plaxico Burress.
No, it did not. And let me say something about Plaxico Burress, I would like to say something. I am very proud of the city I live in. That would be the city of New York. And they said that this guy who broke a series of laws was going to get... Bloomberg said he should get jail time.
Right.
And you know what? He did. And anywhere else in the country, he wouldn't have got jail time.
I agree.
Because they would have been afraid of racism, and they would have been afraid of all this other stuff that plays out because he's an NFL player and he can buy justice. But, you know, it's like a Law & Order show. I love Law & Order, and I love the Manhattan District Attorney's Office for the Plaxico case.
Many of our friends have been on Law & Order.
It's about time that... I mean, why do you come to a New York City nightclub with a gun anyway? I mean, that's just...
Your pants.
You're a gangster? Seriously?
What,
you just won the Super Bowl,
idiot,
dude.
Idiot is what you are, dude.
Wow. Yeah. You're a moron.
So there we are. We're off our soapbox.
I'm
just surprises.
I'm just proud of New York, okay? Sometimes
well,
I'm a proud New Yorker.
Now, here we go. I see that Triple D, Donald's designated driver, is with us tonight. And I'm glad he is, because I'm glad he's going to get to hear me say this.
It's about time.
Yeah. Thanks, Triple D, for joining us. John Kuhn. A very pleasant surprise, but not only because of the fullback dive, although that was brilliant. And Triple D, I thought of you right away. I mentioned you on the live blog, even though you weren't there. It was a great play. But that play, notwithstanding, he has been absolutely great after the first series of the first game, when he got blown up. But after that, he has done really well. He's really surprised me. He's gotten to the point of attack and not been blown up, which is a step forward for him. He's been great in pass protection. I thought this was Hall in a walk. Obviously, they're going to keep Quinn Johnson. I thought Hall was going to be leaps and bounds ahead of Kuhn, but Kuhn has come to play, and he's going to make this a very tough decision for the Packers. That's a big surprise to me.
Well, a surprise to me is the, are we going to use as many two tight end sets as
we've been showing?
As it looks like?
I think so. I think it's...
Is that somehow to augment the running game, to help the running game now that we got actually two tight ends that can block?
Two tight ends that can block. And can you just say, play action. Notice there were two tight ends in on the play that Jordy Nelson went ridiculous yardage for a touchdown. That's old school football there. And I love that Jordy Nelson was the only wide receiver on the field on that play. Really, Arizona? Really? One safety over the top, one corner underneath. That's all you got to do. But no. Play action, safety comes way up. I mean, that was like a bad game of Madden. That was like Madden on rookie, all right? That's how bad you were, Arizona. That's how bad you were.
Madden on rookie.
And the other big surprise for me, I guess it shouldn't be a surprise, we've already talked about it, is Anthony Smith. This kid has been just there from day one. He's inconsistent, but he's got a nose for the ball. He picked off two more passes, I think, yesterday in practice, and then had almost a third. He had that brilliant interception in the game, and he's a willing tackler. This kid comes and brings the wood. Everyone talks about Bigby. I haven't seen Bigby make a tackle yet. I mean, I know he's made them because he's in the box score, but I haven't gone, ooh, look at that tackle. Where there's been a couple hits that Smith
He's just holding back.
Yeah,
I guess. Holding back.
You know, Woodson's thing was, he'll turn it on when the season comes. But
yeah.
I don't know. Maybe.
He can blow people up now.
Charles Woodson knows a whole heck of a lot more than
I do.
He can
blow people up.
He can. We saw it in 2007. We did not see it in 2008. And the word is he's still favoring the ankle. If Bigby's still favoring the ankle, he should not be on the field. And that's pretty, I don't know. I'm not going to get all upset about it because, like I said, none of this means anything. But it'd be nice to see Bigby give us anything in the preseason.
Yeah.
Show that he's back. He's playing. He's here to make an impact.
He's got a cool name, too.
He does indeed. Although I will, and this is another thing that I found really interesting. It was just kind of thrown in there in, I think it was Domofsky's piece. It may have been Pelissero. But where he said, he actually admitted that this defense isn't, and his position in it, wasn't exactly what he thought it was going to be like.
Mm.
I found that's very interesting.
That almost sounds like JerMichael Finley last year.
A little bit. I don't know. I mean, because you don't know
it's
tone.
A little more subtextual.
Yeah, I was going to say, you don't know tone. You don't know how it was said. You don't know what the exact wording was, but
it's, true.
It's a very interesting sentiment. Someone who was in March and April was talking about how excited he was for this defense. Now talking about how, oh, it's not what I expected. All right. But maybe does that play into what his play is on the field? I don't know. I can't assume anything, obviously, but it does bear watching out. And now we come to the fun part of disappointments so far.
Disappointments so far in camp.
We just covered Atari Bigby. And now I'm going to come to everybody's favorite topic. And I apologize to him already tonight on the show, but Aaron Kampman has got to be put down so far as a disappointment.
What?
Yes.
No way.
Yes.
No way.
Yes.
No way.
What play has he made?
He's
in the glamour position of the 3-4 defense.
No way.
And he has not made one play other than to scoop up a ball and
That's
run.
Not true. Did you see him score a touchdown?
That's what I just said. He scooped up a ball and ran.
He didn't just... He was in the right place at the right time.
Yes. You as was have Brady Papinga. Is Brady Papinga a good player?
He can be.
You don't think that he about can Brady Papinga. Oh, anybody can be. My daughter could go out there and pick up the ball and run with it, and she could be a good
Sometimes
player.
Sometimes he's good. He's had good games.
I'm not saying...
Seriously.
All right. That's the other thing. I'm not saying Aaron Kampman
I'm
is not a good player.
I'm being a Packer apologist right now.
I know you are. I'm not saying that Kampman's not a good player. And everyone who says I hate Kampman just has no clue what they're talking about and cannot back up those statements with facts.
I love
Because
Kampman.
If you read what I've wrote... You'll know that that's not what I've said at all. I don't hate Kampman. I think he's a great man. I think he's a great football player.
Yeah, he is.
But he's been a disappointment.
I think
he's
better.
And you cannot tell me that he hasn't been.
I think of everybody, he's probably better in the 4-3.
Well, at the defensive end position, yeah. I think he
He's not a linebacker.
He's not a linebacker. He's not natural in space. He's looked, I don't know, I'm sorry, he's looked pedestrian. That's it. I've said it. I'm sure everyone's hating on me in the live vlog. I'm not even going to look because I don't care. You all say what you want to say.
I'll hate on you.
I know. That's why you're here. That's your job.
I know.
So, yeah.
You're just Aaron Nagler hater. That's what you are.
That's me. That's me. All right. So moving on from that, so everyone can make fun of me behind my back and in front of my back.
Yeah, I'll make fun of you in front of your face.
In front of my face. That's great. That's speaking of Kampman, in general, the defense... very good progress being made, I think. I think people are excited about the D. I think that the turnovers are masking a few things. A, that we've played the Browns and Bills. And then the Cardinals kind of moved the ball on us at will, especially their first team. Okay, and then speaking of defense, Nick Barnett. Getting a little upset with some roto sites today. Who picked up on?
I didn't see that.
No, Bedard and Silverstein co-authored a column or an article this morning in the JS Online saying, "Will Barnett start?" You know, and these roto sites picked it up and were like, "Barnett's not going to start." Right?
Which is annoying. And the way they do that, just like ESPN ranking us. ESPN ranked us third in a clear marketing ploy because they listed the first two teams. They list the Bears and the Vikings.
You're talking about ESPN Insider, right?
Whatever. They're trying to get you to buy, ESPN Insider. So, of course, they make the Packers third because who has the most diehard fans?
The Packers.
I wonder.
Look,
so, who will click on the link and then buy ESPN Insider, which is pointless?
Pointless, I tell you.
Anyway, sorry.
No, that's absolutely right. No, it's right.
It's the same thing, though.
Yes.
It's like somebody takes... What was it the other day? There was a headline on Monday, and clearly Bedard did not write anything. It was something about somebody won't play, and it wasn't... It was stupid. It was just like, you got a headline out of this?
Well, that's the thing.
I mean, I get it, but...
Barnett shot through for a blitz and a sack today, and he started screaming, "The boy is back. The boy is back." And I asked Greg if he was shouting it at him, and he said, no, it was about these other sites.
But I would have shouted at him.
I know, right?
I would have, it would have been fun. I like Greg Bedard. I'm one of the few, I guess, on our site.
I get there's a lot of anti-Bedard sentiment going on there.
There's some Bedard player hating.
Yeah, which is unfortunate because the man is excellent at his craft.
He is.
But getting back to Nick Barnett, as we opine. But you know, so he was upset about this, for rightfully so, I think. I mean, people are quick to assume, but as I messaged him last night, I said, you know, I don't think fans don't want him to start. I think fans are concerned that they don't want the Packers to bring him back too soon.
Right.
You know what I mean? I mean, the guy is 9 months removed from major knee surgery.
Yep.
And what's funny is that he addressed this yesterday in the locker room.
You know, I have no, like, worries about the knee at this point. You know, the most I talk about it is with you guys when you ask me about it. You know, I don't really feel it, and I kind of block that out if there is anything. I mean, there's going to be, you know, things here and there. You're going to hear a crackle or something weird, you know, but that's part of ACL recovery and rehab. But I'm not worried about it. I'm going to go out there and play football, and whatever happens, happens. I'm going to play full speed. If it breaks again, it breaks, you know, whatever. You know, I'm not going to be worried about it, you know. And that's, I think that's the way you have to play.
Crackling? You might hear crackling? Nick, I don't ever want to hear crackling from your knee, ever. Please, no crackling. That's Nick's take. And it's good to hear, most definitely, because he's saying, you know, I'm going to go out there 100%. What happens, and that's how you've got to play this game.
It is good, but, you know, I'd rather have Nick Barnett for the whole season, because if we don't have Nick Barnett, then who will deliver the samurai to us?
Well, I think I saw someone invited him to come check out the show tonight. So, Nick,
nice.
If you're out there, I know you're not.
He's
but
not.
But if you are, we just want you for the full season, and we want to see a lot of samurai. So don't be hating on the
Whatever
fans.
Whatever you do, don't bring back the Packer Shark.
Bring it back, Nick. Love the Packer Shark.
Don't do it. Don't do
Love
it.
Love it. Love it. I might do it right now.
Don't do it.
No, I won't.
Yeah.
No one wants to see me doing
Nobody,
the Packer Shark.
No, it's not the same.
At all. So moving on, another great, I guess, development from Friday night is the offensive line and the play of. I mean, they were, I got to say, you know how even when Favre had his best offensive line in like 2003, when he would go back to pass, you would see the pocket like collapsing on him.
Mm-hmm.
Like even, and the guys were good. They were good pass protectors, but you could see, you know, like you watch other teams like have big off, like the Cowboys, who Romo goes back there and there's like an invisible field around
him. He's got all day.
You know what I mean? Like there's just a shield around him. That was Rodgers on Friday night. Like I haven't seen that from a Packer line in ages.
It's true.
I mean, there was a bubble for him to throw all day.
But it was the preseason.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. On the line, joining us live, Jen Latta from Fox 6 in Milwaukee. How are you tonight, Jen?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We're hanging in there. So let's just dive right into it. You're at work. You cover sports. What drew you to not only, I guess, covering sports, but, you know, broadcasting in general? Was this something you've always wanted to do? Is something you came to late? What got you on this path?
Well, first of all, I just want to tell you guys right now, you kind of sound to me like the teacher from the Peanuts cartoon. So I'm kind of hearing what you're saying. I think you just asked me, I'm pretty sure you just asked me about me being interested in sports. So I'm going to go with that route. And if I'm way off, you just stop me in the middle.
Perfect.
Okay.
Perfect.
No, I've been interested and involved in sports since I was a little kid. Oldest of four. So we were always having pickup games right in our front yard. Easiest way to entertain four kids, I'm sure. Cheapest probably as well. And it was just something that my dad always was taking us to ball games when we were little, and we were watching games with him. And just I've always really appreciated the competitiveness and the athletic sphere and world. And so I was really lucky to be able to pursue that as a career. In fact, when I got to college, I didn't even realize that that was something women did, as archaic as that sounds. But when someone told me, you know, well, hey, have you ever thought about being a sportscaster? I was like, sure, that sounds like more fun than being a newscaster. So I went that direction, and it's been a perfect fit for me.
And was this a colleague? Was this a professor who kind of turned that light on for you?
Yeah, I think it was a couple of guys in class. You know, we had a lot of broadcasting classes, and we all were learning pretty much the same thing, but there was this group of guys that were clearly interested in being sportscasters and kind of was just kind of drawn to their world and what they were interested in doing. And by the time I got towards my junior and senior year at Marquette, I was really focused on that realm exclusively. I was doing the cut-ins for MUTV, and I was trying to get to as many games as possible and really start to figure out what it would take to actually be successful in that world. And then when I graduated, I was lucky enough to get hooked up with a television show that airs in the Milwaukee area called Preps Plus. And that's all high school. I think it still airs on TMJ4, maybe on Sports 32 here in Milwaukee, but just went out to football games, baseball games, basketball games, hockey games, you name it. We were there on a weekly basis. And that's how I put together a really good resume tape and was able to get quite a few nibbles after doing that. But it took a lot of hard work. I hope that people don't think I kind of just dove into the sports reporting world and got a job right away.
No, no.
You know, I spent a year out of, after I graduated, waiting tables and working for Preps Plus part-time, hoping that someone would think I was talented enough to get a gig.
Well, and you obviously are. I mean, you've been covering some big stuff. I mean, you were, like you say in your bio, you were in the room when Favre retired officially. What was that like? What was the atmosphere like? I mean, that I can't even imagine being in that room. And the fact that
it was
very
cool. It was really cool. You know, of course, there's three people in our department. I work with Tom Pippins and Tim Van Vorn as well. Tim Van Vorn is clearly our Packers guru. He travels with the team, and he's the guy that's up at training camp almost on a weekly basis. Certainly, if you need a Packers tidbit or knowledge, he's the guy to go to. So for me to get the opportunity to go to that very big event in not just the season's history, not just Favre's career history, but Packers as a franchise history, that was very exciting. I did get to ask Favre a question, and I asked him, you know, why you? You know, players have retired before you, whether you can believe it or not, and yet your retirement is taking on, you know, epic proportions. Why you? And he gave a terrific answer where he said, you know, he's probably not the best person to answer that, but then he came back around and said that because he feels he's always played the game honestly. He's always given it 100%. He's always kind of been the everyman out there, and he thinks that fans relate to that, and that's why it was, you know, received the way it has been. Now, I don't know if he's still being received the same way he was on that day because of all the things that have happened since then, but at least on that day, boy, you would have been hard-pressed to find somebody who wasn't moved by
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Everybody was. Absolutely. It's interesting. When you take that answer from him, and he talks about the 100% dedication, after this offseason, you see that he clearly wasn't 100% dedicated. A lot of waffling coming back and forth. Do you guys talk about that in the newsroom, like the whole Favre saga, the episode? Is that daily fodder, as it were? Or is it just something, he's a story, you've covered it, it's time to move on?
Well, we certainly had many discussions about it because it would dictate our coverage.
Right.
You know, people still get fired up one way or another when it comes to Brett Favre. He is certainly a hot topic, and it gets people, you know, riled up one way or another. The interesting thing is we obviously can't please all of those people. We have to cover Brett because there is a demand there. And whether you like, you know, what he's done in the last year or so, you know, the numbers show you're watching, that people are watching, people are tuning in. No matter how many times people threaten and get emails that say, you know, if you cover Brett Favre one more time, I'm never watching Fox 6 again. Well,
trust me, we're familiar with that. We're familiar with that that phenomenon.
Exactly.
You know,
and then we check the numbers, and it doesn't look like anybody has turned off the television. So we have to go with, well, and it is, you know, frustrating for us as individuals as well, you know, when Favre, you know, hopped on the private jet and flew up to Minnesota, that changed all of our schedules around as sportscasters. And Tim Van Vorn had to go up to Minnesota, and then all of us are sliding into each other's shifts. And so it takes a toll on other people as well, but it is our job to report what's going on, and so we need to be there to do that.
Well, and you can't say that you've done anything but a bang-up job. Jen, thanks so much for joining us tonight. I know you're pulling you away from work, we're pulling you away from family, we're pulling away from a lot of things. It's just really nice of you to give us any time at all. Thanks so much for joining us, and I'm sorry for my Peanuts teacher imitation.
No problem. It's good talking with you guys. Have a great night.
Have a great night,
Jen.
Thanks so much. Everybody, Jen Latta,
Jen Latta.
Fox 6.
I wish I lived in Milwaukee so that I could actually get Fox 6 News now.
Oh, I'm sorry. I missed a question from Packer.
Oh.
I get all wrapped up in these interviews, and it's just like, you know, I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But we have a rare treat for you tonight. Ladies and gentlemen.
What's going on?
We've got a new segment.
A new segment.
We're ready to introduce this evening.
What's happening right now?
We're going to have a special teams. You know, the special teams don't get enough scrutiny, credit. They don't get talked about enough. Brian Caravu has taken it upon himself. He wants to talk about special teams.
Special teams.
Which I agree. They are given short shrift.
They're special.
They're sometimes given short shrift by teams.
They're usually really special when it comes to the Packers.
Brian Caravu is on the line. Brian, are you there?
I'm here, guys. Can you hear me?
All right. We can hear you.
How's it going, Brian? Brian Caravu in the house.
It's going well. I don't know if I can fill the shoes that Jen Latta left, but I'll do my best.
Brian, trust me. you got no problems here.
No.
Special teams talk, I'll take you over Jen Latta any day.
That's
not that
true.
She's not lovely and wonderful and perfect, but you know, special teams, that's your ball. You got to run with it.
Yeah. So, well,
yes.
The Packers have a set on a punter.
Yeah. Do you think they have? Do you think, you know?
I think they're going to wait 6 weeks.
Hey,
look
at last year. Look at what happened right before the start of the season. They switched the punter.
I think they have a punter. At the beginning of the training camp, I thought maybe Duran Brooks was the man. The very first week of practice, he kicked very well, punted very well, had some boomers.
Yeah.
But Kapanos has just proven to be the more consistent punter, and he doesn't have many shanks or anything like that. So
I was going to say he definitely has produced in the games, which is, I guess, where it counts, you know. Well, what do you think about this kid from Colorado that got cut today? You know, he's had a troubled past, which is funny for a punter. Apparently this kid can really kick the ball. What do you think?
That's what I've heard. You know, I guess I just heard it as it came down the pipe today too, and I'm going to have to look a little bit more into that. One thing I thought that has been very interesting, that the definition of a shank this year has gone from about 8 yards to about 30 at least, so we're making progress.
Well, that's true. That's true. Well, how much do you think Capito's won the job, and how much do you think you know, Brooks' hip injury played into just him having to kind of fall out of it?
A little bit of both. Kapanos has certainly been more consistent all along, but I think that has helped him win it. But, yeah, certainly Durant Brooks being injured doesn't help. So a little bit of both, I'd say.
Well, the thing I like about Kapanos is the fact that he's left-footed and he puts that weird spin on the ball. You saw that in the Texans game last year where the returner completely misjudged it and jumped at it and fumbled it, and we got the ball back. So I like Kapanos. I just let's hope he can be consistent enough, do it the whole season. And I got to think, you know, I got to think McCarthy has spoken to Thompson and said, look, let's not do this again. Let's settle on this as our punter and leave it at that and not have any surprises. I don't know. What do you think of the coverage teams? I saw in the live blog, I don't know if it was – I think it was 2 days ago, where you were surprised at some of the additions to the coverage units. Was there anybody in particular that you were thinking about?
Yeah, it's just it's surprising to see, especially two guys have caught my attention. Joe Porter and Brett Swain have been playing on the first string, I believe, kickoff units. And I mean, right now they kind of look like they're on the bubble. I would say most people would say they're probably on the outside of making the roster. So it's going to be really interesting to see perhaps just even Thursday night's game, if they're still there, what they're thinking about, what the special teams coaches are thinking.
Right.
We need to get a Bedard siren. I need to get I need to go to what is it? God. What is the place in the mall? And it would just have a police siren go off for when Greg Bedard enters the live blog.
Right.
It's like, whoop, whoop, whoop. It'd be awesome.
Oh. So, Brian, as we were saying, ladies and gentlemen, Bedard is in the house.
I'm sorry. Special teams is boring me. I'm sorry. Well, it's not Brian. Brian doesn't bore me.
You don't need to worry about it. We're talking special teams.
I need an animation of me sleeping.
Okay. All right. Well, Brian, we're talking special teams. With Will Blackman being out as long as he's been, do you think they might make a switch there? I mean, he's been the returner, but he's been absolutely – there hasn't been anything going on as far as, like, you know, dramatic returns, especially on kickoffs, other than against the Vikings last year. I mean, those were the two games. Do you think they might look at somebody else?
What's interesting is I thought maybe before he got injured that perhaps Will Blackman might be one of the biggest trade baits on the whole team. A guy who can not only play cornerback, but a guy who's a proven kick returner. It would certainly be awful hard to trade him now, being having his injury problems. But you know, I think he's the guy. I think he showed it during games. He hasn't been quite as good a kickoff returner as he has a punt returner. Right. But, you know, he's shown he can do it in games.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, but, you know, Nelson's done it in game conditions. Tremont Williams has done
Tremont Williams.
As Corey will tell you 300 times a day.
Tremont Williams.
Has done it. So, I don't know. I guess just the fact that he's out for not for so long, but for a while. And that they're looking at other guys. I mean, obviously, we don't see the results. But I find that, you know, that could be – a move could be made there. And like you say, I'm not – maybe he's trade bait. Maybe he's – I guess they wouldn't outright cut him. But it'll be something to watch, as it were. And what do you make of Mason Crosby? Now, we talked about him earlier. You know, we obviously talked about Ruvell Martin's horrible holds. But do you think that's it? I mean – this kid has been awfully inconsistent since his rookie year. I mean, his rookie year, he looked solid. He hit a bunch of 50-yarders, won the game against Philly, the opening game. And then, you know, the next year, he just awfully inconsistent. What's your take on Crosby?
I've been critical of him, but it probably doesn't matter what I think or anyone thinks. He's going to be the kicker this year. No matter what, you know, they're not about to make a move. And yeah, I think he deserves the chance to, prove himself this year. It might be his last chance if he does poorly. But, you know, he's going to be the kicker. He's struggled. I don't know how much you can blame a 28-yarder on a holder.
That's what I was saying, you know.
Ocho Cinco might have made it. So
and that's just cold. Every kicker in the NFL was like, "Why do you got to do that? Why you got to show that?" Do you think they should have brought in competition for Crosby? You know, there's a lot of chatter when the camp started, even back after the draft. The fact that they didn't draft a kicker, I mean, I think that was obvious, but they didn't sign one after the draft to try and just be a camp leg. I mean, I know the 80-man roster plays into that, but it just seems like it wouldn't have hurt to bring in just an extra leg. Not only to keep Crosby fresh, but to kind of put the pressure on him, which seemed to help Kapanos, when they brought in punters to look at that position.
Yeah, you know, at least they could have brought in a kicker back during off-season minicamp before the draft pick signed and they get those couple extra roster spots. They at least could have checked out a guy then.
Yeah, they probably could have. Sorry, I was just reading something rather unfortunate on the live blog. I completely agree. I think competition's good. I think it just I guess he's their guy, and they're gonna roll with him. Brian, we thank you so much for joining us on this maiden voyage of our special teams talk segment. We'll try and have Corey come up with a clever graphic that's not him showing a pint glass in front of the camera.
Brian, I loved it. That special teams is awesome. I loved it.
Don't
thanks,
listen.
Guys.
Don't listen to Carter. Thank you. Thanks for joining us, Brian. We'll talk to you soon.
Brian Caravu. Yeah. The better third of Cheesehead Nation.
Yeah,
the best third, basically.
The best third. The only third that matters.
The only third that matters.
My Lord, we're all over the map tonight. Greg Bedard's here, ladies and gentlemen.
Greg Bedard.
Corey, let us know.
Where else in the Packer blogosphere can you go and get Greg Bedard that's not JS Online?
Well,
nowhere.
You can find a lot of places that are ripping on him.
I don't like it. I don't like it when people rip on Greg Bedard.
There you go.
Don't do it.
You heard it from Corey, ladies and gentlemen.
Don't do it. I'm sick of it. You want good reporters, or do you want guys that are yes men? And I won't name names. who's just like, oh, let me ask you a question. Yes, 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 yes.
You get a lot of that. No. A lot of that around the Packers.
You know what I want? I want real city reporting. And you're not going to get that from Green Bay Reporter, okay?
No, that's true. You're not going to happen. Not at all.
Is it break time?
It's almost break time, but I want to ask Greg something real quick. well, on your radio spot in Milwaukee the other night, you were talking about how everything could turn after opening night, and I mentioned it earlier in the broadcast. As I was fully in agreement with you, and I just want—I guess I'm not asking a question. I'm just saying I totally agree with your point. And Corey and I both, in line of the preseason means absolutely nothing. And this is all great. The Packer fans are excited, but everyone needs to sim it down.
It's great. Yeah,
my wife likes to.
It's great until the first games. We're 0-1. I don't want that to happen. But if the first game we are, the preseason goes out the whole window. Is he responding to you?
No, but he.
He's not watching the show.
No, he is. He's asking about the Wells. Wells is just fine post that I put up after he posted a transcript of Scott Wells. Greg, let me tell you, I was on vacation, so I'm like reading this stuff like when I can. All right, and then you post this thing like, oh, Wells is obviously miffed and upset and blah blah blah. And then you go watch the video, and the guy's not upset. He's not miffed. He's just, but and then Greg, what you didn't point out, which was true in my post, is I said. Yeah, he may have been, upset at the questions. All right, I put something in quotes, which was a direct shot at the headline of the Green Bay Press Gazette. Bristles, that was it. Wells bristles at questioning. He wasn't bristling at the questioning, and that was from the Green Bay Press Gazette. So just lay off. It was a blanket statement to everybody, Greg, not just you. All right, now we do have to take a break. We're going to take a break. Ladies and gentlemen, we've been brought to you all night by Titletown Brewing Company. Corey's got the hot shirt. I got the hat. We got the pint glasses with beer in them. They are fan-freaking-tastic.
Johnny
I cannot
Blood Beer.
Tell you enough how excellent this stuff is.
Who
check
else
them out
has
online.
Johnny Blood Beer?
That's so hot.
That's awesome. It's
so
Irish
hot.
Red Ale, but that's amazing.
And look at this place. They got the receiver. Ladies and gentlemen,
they have the receiver. They got the receiver.
From the Hall of Fame. Where? You got to go. You got to go. If for nothing else than to drink their beer and take pictures in front of the receiver. It's the hotness. We're going to go on break. When we come back, Jarius Wynn, defensive end, rookie, Green Bay Packer, will be on the line. We're back, ladies and gentlemen, and on the line, live with us tonight here on Packer Transplants, is defensive end Jarius Wynn.
Jarius on Cheesehead Nation! Yeah!
Good evening, how are you? My buddy Corey here is very excited.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us. I guess I'm going to start right away with great game on Friday night.
Yeah.
Yes, I appreciate it.
We saw you get drafted. We see a lot of names come across the board. We see this late round pick, and they talk about you, and then we kind of forget about you guys, and then you come into camp and you start making plays and stuff. It's great to have you on the show. Thanks so much for joining us. I just want to start, I guess, with your college experience at the University of Georgia. Where you played both defensive end and defensive tackle, was there a position you preferred, and how do you like being moved around? I guess because you've been moved again to defensive end, is that a problem for you, or do you find that's pretty easy?
No, sir. I mean, I really just love the game, so I do whatever it takes to play it. You know,
right?
I think it'd be more mobile. Like if you can play defensive end, defensive tackle, so. It's not too much different, but, you know, you got to be a man to play in that middle and defensive tackle.
Well, absolutely. And in the 3-4 defensive end is no joke either.
You're right about that.
How do you like being a strict defensive end there in the 3-4? Is that something you've already adjusted to? Is it an ongoing process? Sorry, go ahead.
It's ongoing. I mean, it's going great right now. You know, got in the game, got a couple sacks, and just still learning a lot.
Right. Speaking of learning, obviously you've got Turgovec as your line coach. You got Dom Capers there as your defensive coordinator. What kind of coaches are they? Are they similar to what you've had in college, or are they a little more fine tuned? Are they? I know Turgovec's been doing some yelling. You know, what's that been like? What kind of teachers are they?
That's similar, but it's a different level. So, you know, the level is better, and they teach you more. But all the coaches are good guys. All good guys, and they're willing to help you learn if you're willing to learn.
Right.
And that's what I'm willing to do.
And nice. Have they been approachable? I mean, do you do like some one-on-one time with them? Do they talk to you about film study? I mean, or is it more kind of they tell the group stuff and you kind of have to do it on your own?
They talk about film. We study film a lot, and you know, be one-on-ones. He'll come there and talk to me and like tell me what I need to do better, or just critique me and make me a better player.
Sounds great. Well, you're definitely on the road. You know, when you were drafted, a lot of was made of the fact that the Packers, I guess, were going to ask you to gain weight. I think I read they wanted you to gain like around 15 pounds. Is that something you've achieved?
Right.
Is it something you're still working on? Is that true? I mean, like I said, we've read a lot about it, but it, you know, we've got you here on the phone. Is that the truth? Did they ask you to gain that weight, and have you done it?
Yeah, so they asked me to gain weight. Like when I got drunk, they asked me what's my weight, and I thought I was like around my 280, but now I'm around my 285. I just want to put the weight on right. They want me to be at 290, so
okay,
I'm close there. I'm very close.
Right, and did you lose a lot of weight during 2-a-days? I mean, that's a common occurrence.
No, sir, I really did it. I didn't lose a lot of weight. You know, we eat real good here, better than the college level. So
nice.
I kept my weight personally pretty good.
And what's it been like coming from? I mean, University of Georgia. I mean, what's it been like? You know, adjusting to Green Bay. I mean, that's a whole different world from where you're coming from. What were your initial impressions, and how do you like it?
It's going real good, you know. It's like starting all over again as a freshman. But it's going good, and, you know, you start to learn new stuff and adjusting to the fans, I guess, is the biggest part. I mean, it was like that in Georgia, but it's way more different out here at Green Bay, and I love it.
Well, that's what we like to hear.
Yeah.
You know, going back really quickly to when you were first starting out in football, I guess you went to a junior college. You went to Georgia mm-hmm. Military Academy. Was that a choice? Do you have military? You know, is there a military background in your family, or is that just
it
a
is.
Choice you made?
It's a route I had to take because of my grades when I first started looking at schools and stuff, and I didn't come up to par to my grades, so I went that route, and it taught me a lot, you know.
Well, yeah, the military academy is no joke.
Yeah, you're right.
have they told you anything about, you know, Thursday night, how much time you can expect to see?
I know I will play, I'm probably going to play pretty much most of the game.
Nice.
Yes.
That's all I know for now. Yes,
that's nice. Well, we got to let you know, you know, you are playing, you are on the line here, and we have nothing but diehards that watch this show and listen to the podcast. So you will have a army of people watching you this Thursday, and we'll all be pulling for you, James.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, best of luck this season. Thanks so much for joining us, and good luck with 2009 and the Packer season.
Yes, sir. I appreciate it.
Jarius Wynn on Cheesehead Nation.
Good night, Jarius.
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, Jarius Wynn, rookie defensive end.
Nice.
In the house.
I like it. Get the Southern in here.
Yeah,
I've spent some time
in
North Carolina.
As have I.
The only thing I don't like about Georgia is people from Georgia think that the Packer G, okay, it's the Packer G.
Yeah,
okay.
No, they took it. They got permission
from the Packers to use it. But now people in the South, they actually think that it's their G and the Packers got it. Like most people think that Georgia had it first, and that's the only thing I have a problem with. But otherwise, love the fact. I love the Southern accent. We need
more guys
with Southern accents on our show because I love it. It's great.
Oh dear. Well, you know, Jarius Wynn, ladies and gentlemen, yet another Packer in the books. I've got to say, I have to publicly thank Brian for booking these guests.
Brian Caravu.
I booked some. Brian, I think, has booked every player except for Nick Barnett.
Yeah.
It's just been fantastic.
It's pretty amazing.
And I did Finley. So
Brian
Caravu.
Brian Caravu should, like, get a job with Jay Leno or something.
Absolutely. Or, you know, or anywhere he wants. Because it's just been great talking to these Packers. No pressure, Brian. But speaking of which, ladies and gentlemen, there is a possibility the next week we may be joined by a very special guest. So special and so secret.
You can't mention it?
I can't say it, and even Corey doesn't know who
You're
it
just going to tease people with it.
No, I'm just, it's not a tease.
Yeah, I have no idea who it is, because if I did, I'd probably say
you
it.
You would totally blurt it out, which is why I didn't tell you. So yeah. It's a good possibility, and he's very, very, very relevant to the Green Bay Packers. That's all I'll say. That's all I'll say.
Well, the only guest that I have that I'm really excited about is when we play the Vikings.
Oh, right.
I'm really excited because we're going to have a Viking fan in studio. A real Viking fan who has an amazing voice.
Diehard Viking fan.
Who has an amazing voice.
He was in my class at school.
Yes. And we're going to beat up on him, and he's going to take it, and he's going to like it.
Oh, he's totally going to take it.
So let's talk about the Titans, huh?
Let's talk about the Titans. Here we are once again, the final preseason game. Jeff Fisher's going to leave his starters in for a half. Mm-hmm. Brian Brohm's going to come in after the first series. And no one's going to be doing anything because the Titans' lines will be totally overpowering the Packers' lines, and we won't be able to tell anything from the final game.
Right.
There, that's my analysis, because it happens every freaking year for the last 8 years.
Well, you'll be able to tell something.
What? Somebody, what will you be able to tell?
Somebody on defense.
Be able to tell something in the fourth quarter. That's it.
No.
It's the only quarter that matters in this
game. I think some defensive players are going to make some plays.
Yeah.
And you're going to be able to tell what happened off those plays.
I guess. I hope. I mean, heck, maybe Lansana will get in there and, like, decapitate Kerry Collins.
I haven't done a study, but I'm very frightened going 4-0 in the preseason, because if you look at a lot of teams that go 4-0.
You mean like the Packers in under Ray Rhodes, who went 8-8?
Yikes.
Or the Detroit Lions, who went 4-0 and then went 0-16?
Yikes.
I'm just saying.
We need to lose one game.
Oh, we will. We will lose
in
Thursday.
The preseason.
We will lose Thursday.
So that way we don't go 4-0, because that's not portentous.
Packer Geek, I agree with you. Lansana is a good player. And ladies and gentlemen, we mentioned it briefly at the beginning, but can I say, Andrew Hayes is in the house.
Andrew.
Packer Geeks. Thank you so much for being here, Andrew.
Yes.
This is really, really lovely of you.
It's about time Packer Geeks showed up.
I know. I mean, What's going on? We've invited them.
They're like
several
times. They're like one of my favorite Packer
Stevens,
blogs.
Andrew, what's up with Steve?
Yeah.
He doesn't even post anymore.
Yeah, what's
up with
that?
Guy just shows up and makes a comment on your post. They should just call it Packer Geek. Because it's you, Andrew. You are Packer Geeks.
His brother's too famous for him.
Now stop. We're not even gonna go there. Because if we
Why can't we go there?
No, we're not gonna go there.
Oh.
Because
we can't go there?
His job is one of the two things we don't talk about on this show.
Oh, okay.
So there you go.
It is?
Yes, it is.
Oh, okay.
We're not gonna talk about it.
Sorry.
That's all right.
I'm not talking about it, even though it's
Andrew
pretty
says
obvious.
Steve is busy.
Okay.
I suppose. I mean, I've got a full-time job, 3 kids, you know, and I do Cheesehead TV on the side. It's almost like a second job, but I'm not busy. It's okay.
You're not.
We understand, Steve. Whatever.
You're not busy. You're a diva.
No, it's true. I am a mega diva.
If people knew what I had to put up with behind the scenes here.
Good Lord. People,
I don't know that they'd watch the show.
I'll be in my trailer. Hey, here's something I just needed to say live on the air. Corey Banky took Brett Favre in our fantasy league.
As a backup.
I can't believe it.
As the backup to
Aaron
Rodgers.
Oh, my God.
As the backup to Aaron Rodgers.
Dude, and you know when he did it?
As the backup.
He did it when I got up to go take a pee.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. He did. I left the room.
It's really
nice. I come back, and there's the Brett Favre sticker under Corey's team.
Okay. When is the Packers bye week?
I don't care.
Week 5.
Week 5.
Okay.
Yes.
So, last year, Brett Favre was really good for 6 games.
That's correct.
So, all I need him for is 1 game in week 5.
That's right.
That's it.
There you go.
And he's not playing
it's
us.
It's a foolproof plan.
Is he?
No, he's not.
I didn't even look.
We're on a bye week.
Oh, yeah.
How could he be playing?
Duh. Wow.
He plays us the week before.
I think I need another beer, seriously.
I think you do, and I think you need to use that fantastic pint glass provided to us by Titletown Brewery.
That's good, but it's empty.
It's empty. Oh, boy. I think a trip to the fridge is in order as soon as the show is over.
I like how it has Johnny Blood. That's nice.
I think we've said Johnny Blood more times on this show.
We should. Johnny Blood is one of the
history of this show.
Johnny Blood is one of the greatest Packers of all time.
I agree.
And so we
He's
should
a great
say his
Packer.
Name. And it's exciting that we possibly potentially have a sponsor who
Wait, it's period.
Tonight.
Stop right there. That's just crazy.
Tonight,
yeah.
We had a sponsor and they happened to make a beer called Johnny Blood.
That is insane.
Irish red ale.
It's fantastic. I still can't believe you took Brett Favre. I really can't.
Why?
You made this huge video the week before talking about how you're a true Packer fan, making fun of Brett Favre for even saying that true Packer fans will understand.
I am a true Packer fan.
You can't take Brett Favre in your fantasy league.
Not a traitor.
Why not?
Never will be. I'm not
oh,
a traitor.
No.
Never will be.
Why can't I take him?
It's not back, ladies and gentlemen.
Why can't I take him?
What's sad is that he's got this button ready for whenever
you know
I talk about Favre.
You know I do.
Yeah.
Okay, he needs to be quiet.
Yeah, he does. Oh, God.
You know, I'm a realist. I think most people that read our site realize this.
Yeah.
They say it's negativity. I say it's realism.
Some might say it's the same thing. Beckett would say it's the same thing.
I
but
guess.
That's just me.
You know what? At the end of the day, I hate Favre this year.
Right.
But eventually.
In the long run, you're going to love him?
You know, I see the big picture. I see the writing on the wall. One day I'm going to look from behind my grandfather's seats, and his name's going to be on that ring.
Yeah,
Hopefully it won't happen for 10 years, but it'll probably be 5 years.
You think it's going to happen before we die?
Yes.
All right.
I think it's going to happen in the next 10
years.
You think
it's going to happen before he dies?
Yes.
All right. All right. The next 10 years, really?
Yeah, because I don't see Ted Thompson being around forever. And as soon as Ted Thompson's gone, his name's on the ring.
You think so?
Yes.
You don't think Mark Murphy cares?
No.
All right. All right. We'll see. I have no idea.
Let Favre not play for 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
And then see what happens.
All right.
Well, no, I'm not saying right away, but
after Thompson's gone, Favre's on the ring. That's what you're saying.
The discussions will happen.
We'll start. Okay, I see.
Right.
All right. Yeah, I can buy that.
Right.
I agree with Corey as well, says Andy Man. Andy Man agrees with me. Again, people agreeing with Corey. It's not a daily.
It doesn't happen every day. I want to thank Jen Latta.
Jen Latta on the phone tonight.
I want to thank Jarius Wynn.
Jarius Wynn. Sick game on Friday night.
Hope to
see more on Thursday.
Yes, and I want to thank Brian Caribou. I'm sorry that I called the special team section boring. I thought it was all amazing. There was a little section there where I was thinking about a sleepy enemy.
Got that? Everybody got that? Everybody understand?
Just, all you right. know, that I feel bad now. I feel
you
like
should
I,
feel bad because it was
like
terrible.
I feel like I let
the guy's our partner, and you're like making fun of him on air.
I feel
that's
like
horrible.
I feel like I let Brian down.
That's right. Almost like
I'm not happy about it.
You're a hater.
Again, want to thank Jen, want to thank Jarius, want to thank Brian, and want to thank you, Cheesehead Nation, for buying us an audio board, for staying here, for listening to two geeks talk about the Packers and think that they know something about football.
Have a great night, everyone.